Have you had a good time?
Yes.
Glad you came.
Yes.
Y'all coming back next year?
Yes.
You heard that, Miss Wendy. All right. Going to have to double up on the plates, I'm just saying. That was such good lunch. It was so good. And that peach cobbler. I just wanted to rub it on my body. You know what I'm saying? That's fine stuff right there. Oh, I'll tell you what. Thank God for spandex. I left a whole pile in my hotel room just quivering when I left. They laid down their life so I could be here. That's just the way it's got to go. Well, me and the little girls had a good time up in the little hot room, didn't we, girls? And hopefully they're praying for whoever's out there, right? And whatever's out there now. And I'm telling you, you won't regret that if you'll start now. Some of you are a little behind. Pick it up. And you want to make the right choices. And I said to them, and I will say this to you in case they come home and tell their mother. I apologize to them that my generation has dropped the ball. That we have not helped the generation behind us that was supposed to take care of them better and prepare them. And we're wondering why our divorce rate is so high and why all of our children, not all of them, but so many of them are living together instead of marrying the way God said you're supposed to do it. And why the things are so out of focus for everybody because nobody trained the generation behind them. I had some godly women help me. It wasn't my mother. My mother fed me. She clothed me. She made sure I went to school so I could read and write. And see, I can count one, two, see. But as far as sitting down and saying, honey, this is what you need to do, we never did that. It was always get your room clean, get your homework done. It was snap, snap, get in the car, we're going to church, you know. But we didn't have any life decision discussions. And somebody's got to look into your big old pretty eyes and say, you need to pray about that. You need to be praying about that. And where you're going to end up and who you're going to share their life. And so anyway, we had some pretty serious talking in there. So if they come to you, Mom, and want to tattle on me, no. If they come to you and they need you, help them. Help them. Pray for who they're going to marry, who they're going to date, what their life choices they're going to make. And ladies, those of you who, maybe you have sons. See, I had three boys. I have really four, but I have three. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so three of them got married and one of them stayed. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm afraid. So, but anyway, I when they were little, I started praying for who they would marry early because I didn't want to keep them. Lisa's little husband, Matthew, he's the third born. So, what girls is he like if he's third born? He's like the Holy Spirit. And he's easy and loving and kind. And he is, isn't he, Lisa? Tell me if he's not, I'll beat him with a broom. Okay. And but he's so good. And so he wasn't in any hurry to leave. And I wasn't in any hurry to get rid of him. And because he just was so easy to get along with, and I could give him a little list and say, Matt, will you run the store? Will you run the dry cleaners? Will you do this? Will you do that? And he'd say, yeah, Mom, if you'll do my laundry. And I go, okay, I'll do that. You know, or I'll change your sheets on your nasty bed if you'll do that. So we kind of swapped out, you know. So he was so easy. But finally, when he was in his 30s, I said, you know, Matthew, Jesus left home at 30. And he said, well, you know what happened to him? So, I'm just saying. But so important for ladies to train this next generation behind us. We're so disappointed because of what's out in the world, and we see it, you know what I'm saying? And we go, oh, that's just a shame. That's just also so such a shame. It's such a shame. You know, and up my way, because, you know, we live in Charlotte, and it's like Sodom and Gomorrah up there. That's what my husband says. I pastor in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so I'm Lot's wife. And but and everybody up there, this is just a commercial brought to you by Fellowship Baptist Church, but they're all tattooed up. You know, they got these sleeves, that's what that's called, you know, when it's up their arms and all that. And what I don't get is that, do they understand that that little rosebud that they've got up here, it ain't gonna stay? You know, when you get older, it don't stay there. And that one in the middle of their back, where's it gonna end up? I wouldn't want to be in the taking care of her in the nursing home. It'd be scary. So, but we're disappointed with what's going on out there, but nobody's teaching the generation behind them. They just expect them to know. And they want them to be moral, but they don't want them to be spiritual. And there's a big difference. I grew up very moral, but I didn't know about being spiritual. You know what I'm saying? And there's a big difference. And, you know, out in the country, I grew up out in the country, and, you know, we could sit outside in our pajamas. No, I mean, there was nobody there but a raccoon, you know? and he probably said, my eyes, ran in the woods, but you didn't have to worry about nonsense. But now there's just, it's everything's so accepted and so confused, and because God's word's absolute. And my grandmother's generation, they had absolutes. And my mother's generation started to drop that. So my generation got even less. And these kids are confused. Y'all confused. And they don't know unless we help them. You know, and those of you going back to your churches, and thank you all really for coming, really, and spending the day with us and letting me come. Thank you, Miss Jenkins, for letting me come. It's been so fun. And but we've got to help them. You've got to help them. You've got to help them when you get back home. And I'm not talking about fussing at them. Don't be fussing at them. You cannot teach somebody something if you have not invested in them. You have to invest in them. And years ago, there was a little gal stood beside me. I've told this story before, but she stood beside me in the choir, and her skirt was really pretty short. You know what I'm saying? See, when I'm up here, y'all are looking straight in. If you look straight, you're going to look at my knees, right? It is not pretty. I think women's knees are ugly, and I think you ought to cover up them big monsters. And so... That's just my opinion. Dr. Jenkins didn't tell me to say that, though he did slip me a 20. No. No, he didn't. But she had on a short skirt, and I thought, I can't say nothing to her. You know, I mean, I helped her with her wedding. I helped her when her first child was born. But I thought, I can't walk up to her and say, dear Lord, have mercy, that skirt. You know, you don't do that. And so I just went shopping, and I bought her a beautiful skirt and paid more for it than I would have paid for my own. it was beautiful. And it looked like her, and it was a little tiny thing, and long. And so I took it to her on Sunday night, and I said, I bought you something. And she said, oh, Miss Berry. I said, I did. I saw it, and it just screamed your name. Screamed it. And I handed her the bag, and she said, oh, Miss Berry, this is beautiful. I left a price tag on it. You know what I'm saying? Not so she could take it back, but so she'd see I made an investment in her. She said, this is beautiful. I said, I know it. But it didn't come in jumbo, so I bought it for you. And I said, so why don't you go in the baptistry room and try it on? Let me see it. So she's, oh, yeah, let's do that. So off she went to the baptistry room. She'd come out there, and she's all twirling, you know, like little girls do. And she's just twirling, and I said, you are beautiful. Oh, my soul, how beautiful you are. She said, Miss Berry, you know that skirt I had on this morning? It was a little short. I said, really? I didn't lie. I just put the emphasis in a different place. I said, really? And she said, it was. And I said, why don't you give that to somebody shorter than you? The old girl still got it. You can't teach somebody you don't invest in. They're not going to take it. And I encourage you to help this next generation. They're so good. And nothing would break my heart more than to know that down the road, you made a very, very bad choice. But you're accountable now because I told you, okay? I'm just saying. So help them. Will you do that? And so we don't have a whole lot of time. We got so much to do today. And we've had such a good time. And I got to see Mrs. Sally Christner again. And isn't she great? Give her a hand. Her husband's, their church is in Maine, and it is so beautiful. It really is it's a peaceful place. It's really peaceful. And y'all should, if you're ever up that way, it really is a great place to go to church. And, you know, when you're on vacation, you should go to a church that is like you. You know what I'm saying? Don't say, well, there's a Catholic church down here. We can just go to the Catholic church. Or we'll just go out by the seashore and we'll just have time with Jesus out by the seashore. No. Get your sorry self up and get your Bible and go find you a fundamental independent Baptist church or something of like. Get up and go to church. Shame on you if you don't do that. That didn't cost you nothing. That was free because I already got my love offering. I'm just saying. Before we go, I just want to share a thought with you. Well, it's not really a thought. It's something that's really, really strong in my heart, and I want to get to it. But it's called, what's after all the harvest comes in, after all this harvest comes in that you plant, all these seeds, we planted seeds in these little girls' hearts today, and hopefully they'll grow into great fruit. And you've planted seeds, Miss Christner planted seeds in you ladies' hearts about trusting God and all this wonderful fruit that's going to come, trusting Jesus for what's going to happen at your house and your church and the people around you that you love and care about. When all this seed starts coming forward, there's a bountiful thing that comes from it and should come from it. It is the law of nature. You know, there's three laws. There's the law of man. You know that police officer you saw in your windshield, your back windshield? Nee, 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 and you pulled your arrow. That's the law of man. Those signs out there that say speed limit 55, 45, 35, and you're going beyond, you know what I'm saying? Okay, that's the law of man. And then there's the law of nature, which this bountiful fruit grows from the law of nature. You plant a seed, it dies in the ground, and there's a fruit that comes from that, or a tree, or whatever. And then whatever that was planted, if you plant an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree. Smart class. And so you get whatever you plant. And then there's the law of God. And God has a law. And if we follow God's law, which is his word, then we get that bountiful fruit from that. If you plant it, you will reap it. And that's God's law. Those three laws, the law of nature, the law of man, the law of God. And so I was thinking about when I was a little girl, and I've already prayed and asked the Lord to bless this, so I'm just want you to know I'm prayed up. I'm just saying. So I was thinking about when I was a little girl, my mom had a cupboard. And so I got to thinking about how many times a day do you go to your cupboard? Are you thinking about that? I know you go the first thing in the morning because you're going to make coffee. You know what I'm saying? You know, when there's t-shirt that says, all I need is Jesus and a cup of coffee, okay? You go to your cupboard. And so you think about how many times a day you go to the cupboard. And you go and you think, well, I go in the morning, and it's one of the last things I do at night. And then you start thinking about what's in your cupboard. Now, my mom had a cabinet next to the stove, and she used the countertop when she's cooking. But underneath, she had all the snacks. I mean, that's where all the Little Debbie cakes were. You know, all the cookies. Yeah, that's where all the good stuff was. And one day I got to missing my second son. We couldn't find him anywhere. And I kept saying, Mom, I don't know. I don't think he couldn't have got out the door. This was before Matthew was born, Lisa. And I went looking, and the cabinet door was closed, but hanging out was two little shoes. And I said, I think I found him. And she said, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then we opened the cabinet door, and here sat this little chocolate-covered face. And he said, hey. I said, well, looks like you're having a good time. He said, I am. But a cupboard was a place where there was good stuff. You know, there was always the good stuff. And then there is a place where you store all your daily and your special essential things, things that you think, oh, okay, I'm going to need that, so I'm going to buy a couple extra. You know, how many of you shop that way where you've got two or three bottles of ketchup and stored away, or you've got, you know, an extra jar of mayonnaise when it's on sale for $6, or, and I know nobody in here probably buys Duke's mayonnaise, I'm just saying. And so I knew some of y'all were Duke fans, and so... All right, let's not divide now. We're almost done. Lisa is a Duke fan. Matthew is a North Carolina fan. So they have a tag on the front of their car that says a house divided. And but a cupboard is, it's one of those things when, you know, you learn. My mom knew what was in her cupboard always. So what we went to get, we had to ask for. Because she kept a mental list of what was in the cupboard so she'd know what to buy at the grocery store. And so we didn't just go get our own snacks or go get anything. We had to always ask. Any of y'all, were you raised that way? Oh, you don't sound happy about it. Are you bitter? And so, you know, I raised my boys that way too, that they didn't just automatically go get chips or whatever. They came and asked, can we have cookies? Can we have an apple or whatever? And so it helped me keep a mental note of what was in the cupboard. And so that was one of the first things that I taught my kids, where the good stuff was. All right, who's guilty? And so, but maybe you didn't grow up that way. Maybe you didn't grow up with the cupboard. Maybe y'all had a special cabinet or shelf like my mom did. Or maybe it was just on top of the refrigerator. A lot of people kept their snacks up real high. You know, I love that commercial where that little baby, the dog, has put that baby up in a thing, and he's getting the rolls out of the top cabinet, you know. I love that commercial. I could watch it over and over. But, you know, everybody has a special place where they put things. And so it was just the way that we lived. And I really wish we'd go back to it again, teaching our children limitations and boundaries. I think that's where their happiness began to crumble, because nothing was unattainable, and especially if they acted ugly. And, you know, One of my boys, I spanked him one day, and he said, at least I won't tell you which one it was. And he said, Mom, somebody ought to call the social services on you. So I picked up the phone and handed it to him. And I said, tell them to come get you. Do me a favor. So, you know, but our children really do need boundaries. Don't break down with it. Don't break down. The world has lost its boundaries. When we can have a Muslim as a senator, I'm sorry. And I don't apologize for saying that. That don't even make sense. They don't worship the God you do. They don't believe in the God that you do. And I'm sorry, Miss Jenkins, I'm causing trouble. I'm being a pigeon, I told you. But just, you need to stand up against some things. We're the light of the world, you and I. And the world is dark. And if you don't shine a light, then the darkness will continue to grow. And it's our responsibility as Christian women and as Christian young women to be a light. And so you have to get past your own self, and you have to become more bountiful, more, so that you can be a light to more and more people and make a difference to more and more people. People are confused, and the devil is a liar. Now, we say that, but he is the author of all lies. So when you hear people telling lies on the news about things, know that that is Satan. He's given them a lie that they have believed. And if you believe the first lie, you'll believe the second lie. And if you believe the second lie, you'll believe the third lie. And eventually, you'll believe the great lie. And you'll take the mark of the beast. I'm just saying. That's why all this tattoo stuff. I'm going to run back over that one more time because I didn't get enough stuff. If you allow yourself to get addicted to tattoos, you will easily take the mark of the beast. Those people will easily take it. And it's Satan is setting you up. So when people come along, girls, and they say, oh, you just need one little Mickey Mouse or something on your leg. Say, no, I don't. No, I don't need none of that. And if I had one, I'd buy me some of that expensive makeup and cover it up. I wouldn't want nobody to know that I had ever been that stupid. Excuse me. That shouldn't be a Christian word, but it's stupid. Dumb. Ignorant. And the Bible teaches against it. Don't cross over into darkness. If you're a Christian woman, then you better stay in the light. And you can do that if you stay in God's word. So God said that we are supposed to reproduce. We're supposed to be bountiful. We're supposed to reproduce. And we live in that world where we're so confused because there are no absolutes anymore that we think it's okay for us to do some of the things that we do or say some of the things that we say. And you and I have got to decide which side we're on, who we're going to stand for. Where's the line drawn that you say, oh, no, I won't wear that or go there or repeat that, or where's the line drawn? Say, no, no, not me. No, no. This lady walked up to me one day at church, and she said, Miss Berry, I don't think you like me. And I said, if I didn't like you, you would know it. And she said, so you're saying? I said, I'm saying I love you. I choose to love you. Not because of what you say or do, but because of Jesus lives in my heart. I love you. You're not going to make me ugly. You're not going to make me ugly. The only person, and I said it earlier today, and I hope you'll take it home, because we live in a road rage and people grasping people at the grocery store and throwing them down. Somebody better not come after the big girl at the grocery store. I may have to change this talk. People are so rude and ugly, and they want you to be ugly back. And you have to let the Holy Spirit take control of you so you'll stop. You'll stop. These two ladies are a great example of that. I'm not the best, but I try. I try real hard. And I'm just saying, it is time for you and I to clean out our cupboard and put in the good stuff and get rid of the old stuff. Get rid of that. Y'all got stuff in your cupboard that's outdated 10 years. You're not going to cook that box of macaroni. Throw it away. Get rid of that. You got your feelings hurt 10 years ago by somebody in the nursery. Your kids are in college. Get over it. Do you know there is a such thing as forgiveness? Really? How long are you going to hold on to some of that stuff? Get rid of that. That hurt and pain every time you think about somebody and you think, they hurt my feelings. Have you ever hurt anybody's feelings? I'm just saying. Y'all looking kind of guilty right there. I'm just... You need to let go of some stuff. You need to clean out that cupboard. This is a good day to do it. This is a good... Hey, if you won't get rid of it today, you're going to carry it a lot longer. And if you don't do it today when we have an invitation and give it to God, and I'm not saying pick it back up when you walk back to the seat. Give it to God. Lord, you're saying, well, Miss Barry, you don't know what she did to me. Well, honey, Jesus does. Jesus does. There was a lady that caused a great deal of trouble at my husband's church several years ago. And y'all are going to think this is absolutely crazy. But this woman was a vice president of a bank. Brilliant woman. Very distinguished, you know, two-piece suit. You know, little closed-in shoes, little heel. Very, everything just perfect. My husband called me one Saturday, and he said, Kathy, you need to come to the office. And I said, why? And he said, Mrs. So-and-so is here, and she has a grievance with you. And I said, really? And I started thinking, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? And, you know, my defense was she started it. I thought that was pretty good. And I said, he said, now hurry on because she's already here. And I said, yes, sir. So I got in the car, and all the way over there, I'm praying. I'm serious. This is a true story. And I said, Lord, please help me. Help me. I don't know what I did, so I don't know how to formulate a defense. You know what I'm saying? Like Perry Mason. Dun, dun, dun. I thought, okay, what am I going to say? So I walked in, and there she sat very smug in a wingback chair in my husband's office. And I said, hello, how are you? And she just looked at me. And I said, what's wrong? And my husband said, Mrs. So-and-so has a grievance against you. And I said, okay. And I just braced myself, you know. And she leaned out of that chair like, you know, I'd run off with her husband or something. But he wasn't cute. I wouldn't have done that. So... Or I'd stole money out of the church offering plate or something, you know. And I thought, no, I just steal money out of my husband's wallet. So I don't do that either. I get his checkbook. And so she leaned forward and she looked at me and she said, do you paint your toenails red? Crazy. I mean, am I crazy or is that crazy? Now, this one was a vice president of a very prestigious bank and had been there 42 years. And I said, first of all, you had to ask. You know, that means she didn't know, right? I mean, I'm not the smartest one in the class, but I'm just saying, if she had to ask me, she didn't know. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." And she looked very smug. She thought she had really got me. And I said, "Every time I get $7, I'm going to do it again." I mean, you know, that stuff is just so crazy. What do you do with that? That crazy stuff. You have to give that stuff to God. You know, you just have to give it to God. And I asked God, "God, is it wrong?" And he said I needed to go pink. So you have got to make up your mind that you're not going to let this world change you, make you bitter and mean and fearful. I loved everything Sally Christner said today that I heard, and I know you heard much more, but you've got to give the big stuff to God. You can't carry it. You can't carry it. Because fear grows. And fear and faith cannot be in the same place. But faith is a muscle, and the more you use it, the bigger it gets. You keep using it. And if you trust him for something, and then you trust him for something else, and you trust him for, "Lord, we got to buy a car. This one died on the side of the road, you know. We got to have a car. We got to buy a house. You got to help us. My kids are sick." I have knelt beside of the bed of my babies when their fever was so high, and we had no insurance when they were little. It wasn't like it is now, and there was not money to go to a doctor, and they were delusional. They were seeing animals and begged God for God to lower the temperature on their little body, and watch God do that. As a young mother, I've watched God do some big things. We were going to buy a house, and we looked 2 years, and every house my husband said no. For 2 years, we looked for a house. He said, "No, I'm not going to spend that kind of money." And one day we went looking, and he said, "Well, what, Kathy, just tell me what you want." And I said, "I want that house right up yonder." He said, "Well, you can't have it." He asked. I'm just saying. So I'd been praying for 2 years. So the Lord just, you know, as the Lord can do. My husband was preaching down for Dr. Roloff then. He was still alive. And the realtor called me, and she said, "Are y'all interested in that house on the corner?" And I said, "Yes, we are." And she said, "Well, that man who built that house wanted to know if you wanted to make an offer." And I said, "I'll call my husband. He's in Texas." And I called my husband in Texas, and he made an offer. He thought, "This man will never take it." Well, he did. He did. And so a few days later, my realtor called me, and she said, his realtor called and said, "If y'all don't come in and sign some papers, he's going to sell it to somebody else." And I said, "He can't do that." And she said, "Well," I said, "I need to call him." She said, "You can't call him." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because that's etiquettely not correct." I thought, baloney. I said, "Okay." So I called my husband in Texas. I said, "Pastor Barry, da-da-da-da-da." He said, "You need to call him." I said, "That's what I said." He said, "Can you get his number?" I said, "I already did." Don't let the darkness stop your faith. I thought, that realtor's not working for me. His realtor's not working for him. And I called his house. Now, I thought he was this little old man, you know. But anyway, his wife answered phone. And they're never home, but they were. She answered phone. And he came to the phone, and I called his name. And I said, "This is Kathy Berry." I said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "You're that little old preacher's wife." I didn't tell him no different. I said, your realtor called me and said, you know, and I told him, and he said, well, that ain't right. I didn't say that. And I said, well, that's what she said. And I said, and then my realtor called me and said that she had called him and said the same thing. He said, I tell you what I'll do. He said, what if I walk your loan through the bank? I thought, well, let me think about it. Now, I said, my husband's in Texas. He said, would he mind if I helped you walk this loan through the bank? I said, I don't think so. And we could go to Hawaii if, no. And he said, I'm kidding about that. I've never been there, but I would go. No. And sure enough, next morning he called me exactly on the dot and he walked our loan through the bank. You know, the Lord will do some marvelous things if you'll just let him do it. Do you know how much hassle that would have been, or how much hassle I'd already been through? But the Lord had to get my husband in Texas. It is amazing what the Lord will do if you'll just let him. A few years ago, my husband was sick. First of all, he broke his leg. That was a lot of fun. And Loretta Walker, if you know her, she's hilarious. She said, Mrs. Berry, we really do not believe you tripped him. Oh, I wouldn't. He broke his leg. It was terrible. And then he got the blisters from all the metal in there, and that was a thing. And then he got kidney stones, and then he got shingles. And I know. I'm a good woman. I'm just telling you. And we got through all of that, and then I was speaking at a church up in Virginia, and he drove me up there like he did here, because he doesn't trust me, and so he's afraid I'll get lost and won't come back, and so, no, not really. He wanted to go because he loved that pastor like he loves this pastor here, and we got up there, and he said, do you mind if I don't go over to the church? I'm just not feeling good, and I said, okay, and so that night I got back to the hotel room, and he was still in bed. And I said, are you all right? And he said, I'm not right. And I thought, okay, I know. And I said, I'm sorry. And I said, you hungry? And he said, yes. I went and got him some food. Now, it's 11 o'clock at night, you know. And I got him some food, and I finally got in the bed, and I was really tired. And I woke up. He's standing over me. And he said, Kathy, we got to go to the hospital. And I said, oh. So what's wrong? He said, I can't breathe. And so got up, went downstairs. As soon as we got downstairs, he collapsed, and they came and got an ambulance and took him to the hospital in Virginia. And the next morning, I'm supposed to be at the church at 9, and at 10 o'clock, I'm still at the hospital. And so I'm trying to call the preacher's wife. She wouldn't answer the phone. And so finally, she called me, and she said, where are you? You're supposed to speak. And I said, I'm at the hospital. And I said, I've been trying to call you since 7:30 this morning, And I told her what happened, and she said, I'll come, you know. She said, come speak at least once. And I said, okay. So I went back to the hotel, gathered up everything, got a shower, tried to brush my teeth, get the grime off, and went over there and spoke. And my husband sat in the church office. He wouldn't stay in the hotel room. They offered, but he wouldn't stay. And so after I'd spoke, I asked the pastor, I said, can I take him home? And he said, yeah. So we left, and we got home in record time because he was going to drive. And I didn't think about that they had given him all that medicine in the hospital. I mean, it was like I just took my seatbelt and fastened it, and I thought, I'm going to heaven from this car. This is how it's going to end. I've always wondered. Great stories will be told about this. And we got home. He got out of the car, went straight in, went to bed. And I knew he was very sick, but I didn't know what to do. He's a veteran and such a good man. I pick on him, but he picks on me too. So we play. But anyway, that next morning I woke up, and it was about 5. And he said, Kathy, I'm going to the VA. And I said, okay, let me get some clothes on. He said, no. Mr. So-and-so is going to take me. He said, you need to go to church. am I crazy or what? So I said, yes, sir. I thought, I need to go to church. So anyway, then, so he went to the VA. Well, when I got home from church, Mr. Norris was called me, and he said, Miss Berry, they're getting ready to do a procedure on the preacher. And he's got this bacteria growing in his body cavity, and it will not die. They can't get it. It's growing. And they're trying to suck it out, and they're trying to kill it, and it won't die, and they're all that. So anyway, they did all that stuff, and so I took off and went to the VA and stayed with him in there. And so they did everything. They gave him everything. They blew him up. He looked like the Meineke man. And they tried everything so he could breathe, and his lungs had collapsed. That stuff had smashed his lungs flat. And it was at Thanksgiving time, and I was supposed to cook for my children. And so anyway, I stayed with him, and of course, they're doing great stuff with the VA now. It's really beautiful and all that, but it wasn't so nice then. I mean, there wasn't any hot water in the room. There wasn't a shower. There wasn't anywhere for me to lay down or a chair, or I sat up for days. And my boys walked in one day and said, Mom, you look so good. And I said, good, this is the same makeup for 3 days. But they walked in one day and they said, Mrs. Berry, we've had 13 disease specialists look at your husband, and there is nothing we can do. He's going to die. And I'll be honest with you, I was so tired, and I know this sounds so unspiritual, but I couldn't even pray. I was so mentally tired and physically tired. I couldn't even pray. And I said, are you kidding? And they said, no, there's nothing we can't kill this stuff. And no matter what we do, it just multiplies and multiplies. And so my husband was just not even alert, laying in bed. He'd lost 30 pounds. And I went over and I had been reading the Bible to him and playing Christian music and all that, trying to keep his... When you're sick, you need a healthy spirit. So I was trying to feed his spirit, keep his spirit healthy. And so I was doing everything I needed to do. And he opened his eyes and he said, Kathy, am I going to die? And I said, no, sir. Not on my watch. You are not dying. Sometimes you have to square yourself off, you know, and quit just letting whatever happen. Oh, well, I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. You have a God. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And sometimes you have to fight back. And I got on the phone and I called our chairman, our deacon board, and I said, they just told me the preacher's going to die. He started laughing. He said, you're joking, right? And I said, no. I said, he's going to die. He said, Miss Berry, what are we going to do? I said, pray. I said, you call everybody you know to pray. I said, you call everybody. You get on the internet. You, anybody that can pray, you get them to pray. 2 days later, I just stayed there. 2 days later, this lady walked in his room, and she had on a doctor's jacket. Pretty girl, pretty young girl. And she looked at my husband and she said, you're not a very good patient. I thought, he's dying. Thank you for comforting us. I mean, I was just gone. You know, no sleep, no, they didn't have a cracker machine up there. You cannot live without a cracker machine. I'm just saying. A bag of M&Ms, I mean, you know. So anyway, and she took two little bottles out of her jacket that were about this size, and they looked like chocolate milk. And she popped the ends off of them, and she said, I want to try something on him. And she put it in his IV, and she walked out the door. That was on a Thursday. On Tuesday of the next week, we went home. There is no record of her. There is no record of her. None. We went back for my husband's checkup, and one of his nurses met us in the outside, and he had on a nice suit, you know, and she stopped like she'd saw a ghost, and she said, "Mr. Barry?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "You're not supposed to be here." And he said, "But I am." We went upstairs and to see his doctor. They were going to check his lungs and show us everything that had happened. And his other nurse met us in the hallway, and she said, "Mrs. Barry, is this your husband?" And I said, "Yep, still." She said, "He's not supposed to be alive." I said, "But he is." I said, "God intervened." See, you stop before God does the big stuff. You stop before God gets to do the big stuff and show you just how big he is and what he can do. You've already given up on a wayward child. You've already given up on a marriage. You've already given up on a church. You've already given up on so many things. When God will fix things. Our church went through some trouble one year. Well, it took several years for it to all come and go and all that. We're still growing back from it. And this lady walked up to me one day at church, a good woman. She's a good woman, soul winner. And she said, "Vengeance." No, she said, what's the verse? She said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Well, I wanted to slap her because I was very offended at a bunch of stuff people were saying and doing that wasn't true, and it was just hurting people. And I went home and I got down on my knees and I said, "God, you have to fix me. You have to fix me. I can't fix me. You can't fix you either. Only God can change a heart and fix a life. Quit being the Holy Spirit to your husband and your children. Quit trying to be the Holy Spirit to everybody at church. You're not the Holy Spirit. You pray and love, and you let God do what only God can do." I got down on my knees and I said, "God, please fix me. I'm so hurt." And the Holy Spirit said to my heart, "Vengeance is mine." And I said, "I know. You know how we do. Okay, God, okay, okay. Like you did your parents. Okay, okay." And the Holy Spirit, it was like he put his hand, Miss Christner, to my chest. And he said, "It's mine." I thought, "Okay, well, that's different." He said, "I will repay." I thought, yeah, it's his church. If he wants to whoop his children, you know, what's it to me? You know what I'm saying? They're not mine. I watched him bring personal tragedy to people who had caused a great deal of pain. And it was sad. But it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit who did it. Listen, I don't know who that's for. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know. But I do know one day it'll all be over. All of this will be over. And you don't want to face God with anything that you're ashamed of. You want to be able to meet him with a smile and to know that you have done your very best for him. That's my desire. I want to end well. I want to end well. Do you think about that, some of you girls that are older like me? Do you want to end well? Don't you want to end well? I believe y'all are good women. I believe you love the Lord. I really do. But I believe there may be some things you need to fix, and you need to fix them while you can. This is a great church, and this has been a great meeting. I leaned over to Miss Jenkins and I said, I'm so thankful you're in a spiritual church still. This is a spiritual church. These are spiritual women who love the Lord. But maybe there's something in your life that nobody knows about. Somebody's offended you. Somebody has done something in the past that you're still harboring. Maybe there's something going on between you and your husband that you won't talk about. Or maybe just something in your own life. And so this is your opportunity. And I know you're tired. You got cobbler on your eyelids. But the pianist is going to play, and I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I want to ask you the most important question of this day. And these ladies would agree it's the most important question. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and nobody's looking. Are you 100% sure that when the time comes that you leave this earth, are you 100% sure, based on God's word, that you're going to heaven? Are you 100, not 99.9, but 100% sure